and Simi, or would you rather I stand up?
Okay.
This would be easier. All right. Can I move the mouse over to this side? Or? Okay. Oh, great. So anyway, yes, I'm Nancy Crocker, and I work with the California WIC program, and I'm very happy to be here, and I really appreciate you all being here, too. I'm excited to be able to share the results of our learner-centered evaluation study. California WIC was fortunate to partner with UC Berkeley's Center for Weight and Health for this study. Pat Crawford was our principal investigator, and Dana Gerstein was our project coordinator. And this project, like so many others, had lots and lots of contributors, both from the WIC program and from the Center for Weight and Health, and we really appreciate everyone's help. I have no disclosures to report, other than our funding was from USDA, the Food and Nutrition Services through a WIC special project grant, which we also greatly appreciated. So first I'd like to give you a quick profile of California WIC's demographics and then talk a little bit about how we've approached learner-centered education in our program. California WIC serves about 1.4 million participants, primarily Latino, and we have about 80 local WIC agencies throughout the state that provide services. We have close to 3,500 state and local staff also. Over the last 10 to 12 years, the WIC program at a national level has been promoting client or learner-centered education for WIC participants, which we affectionately refer to as LCE. Learner-centered education is based on adult learning theory, and it redefines some of the more traditional didactic education learner and educator relationships. For example, in learner-centered education, the educators and the learners would have more of a partnership based on mutual respect and exchanging ideas. Sometimes they switch roles. The educator can become the listener and the learner, and the learner can become the educator. So it's a lot more fluid than our traditional way of doing education. Learners identify the information that they already know and what they already practice, and they identify what they want to learn. The educators understand that adult learners must be the decision makers in their own lives. And learners are encouraged to do at least half the talking and the doing during the class, so that, and they also have the opportunity to learn from each other and not just from the teacher. There are several principles and practices that support learner-centered education. They sound pretty obvious, but putting them into place can be pretty challenging. In our experience, it sometimes can take a lot of training and practice. The four principles that we emphasize are that education needs to be respectful so that learners feel valued. Learning needs to be immediately meaningful and offer something that learners feel is helpful in their own lives right away. Education needs to be safe so that learners feel comfortable and confident and willing to jump into class conversations and activities. And they need to be engaged so that they can participate in their own learning. And we look for conversations, smiles, laughter, and movement to let us know whether or not our learners are engaged. So it's a lot of nonverbal and verbal information that we're looking for. To put the principles into place, we try to use a lot of different practices that are listed here on this slide, which we can talk about in more detail at the end if anybody's interested. California WIC's LCE training program, which we called Finding the Teacher Within, or FTW, we love our acronyms, was a year-long intensive program that partnered the state WIC staff with our local agencies for the training. We developed the training in collaboration with Global Learning Partners, which is a nonprofit consulting organization that we worked with for several years. They specialize in dialogue-based education, and they helped us out enormously with this project. Oops. How do I go back? Thank you. Okay. I need to go back one more to the one I was. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. We developed. You know what? No, I don't. Thanks. So now to talk about this study. California WIC was putting a lot of resources into the training, and we wanted to know whether learner-centered education could help facilitate behavior change. And there were rumors that nutrition education may not always be 100% effective in changing behavior, so we wanted to do our part to address this question. We also wanted to know whether our training program was adequate, whether it was successful enough in helping our agencies make the shift to learner-centered education. Our timeline for the study period was 3 years. It began in fall of 2004, and the intervention training itself lasted 1 year within this time frame. The focal point for our intervention for the WIC participants was a fruit and vegetable class, and this was a 20 to 30 minute class, it was for the WIC participants, and they took the class just once. It wasn't a series or didn't have follow-up phone calls. It was just one class. All the agencies used a fruit and vegetable class as the intervention. Control agencies used more traditional class format, and the intervention agencies used a learner-centered format. And what we defined as a traditional format was we had asked the control agencies, which I realize I haven't told you about yet, we asked them to continue teaching the way that they had always taught. We asked them not to change anything for almost a year. That was tough. So to the agency selection part, 10 agencies were enrolled in the study, and 5 were intervention, 5 were controls. And I have to add that these agencies were saints to work with us. We surveyed them in all kinds of ways, and they worked really, really hard to make this all happen. So we're very grateful to the staff and to the participants for this huge effort. So we focused our evaluation on 3 target groups using 7 evaluation tools. We wanted feedback from the WIC agency leaders, in other words, so the staff who implemented the training program and at each agency. And we also wanted to hear from the agency teachers and, of course, from the WIC participants. All the study tools were administered both pre- and post-intervention, except for the focus groups, which we did just at post-intervention. So our first survey was the agency leaders. We asked them to describe their agency's experience teaching classes. We wanted descriptive, qualitative information, so this survey was conducted as a telephone interview using open-ended questions. We asked how much learner-centered education their agency was currently using, what resources were needed to participate in the intervention training, what they thought the benefits and challenges would be to participate, and how satisfied the leaders and teachers were with their agency's current education process. At the end, we found that the intervention group had integrated learner-centered processes when they were designing their classes, and to be able to do this, it definitely came through that they needed adequate resources, mostly in terms of staff and budget. That can be a real limitation if an agency is stretched very, very thin already to be able to implement this sort of training. Another positive finding was that there seemed to be much more dialogue between the staff who design the classes and the teachers who are asked to implement them. Traditionally, sometimes there'll be somebody who designs a lesson plan, or they'll be downloaded off online and handed to a teacher, sometimes 5 minutes before they have to go teach it in a worst scenario situation. But this process had a lot of back and forth between teachers and the folks who were writing the lesson plans, so they could actually get feedback about how it was working in the real world. One important part of the training process was to observe teachers actually teaching the class and giving them feedback. However, most of our leaders told us that they really weren't able to find much time to do a lot of observation, because this really required a significant time commitment. So we wonder how that might have affected our results if this extra step, this extra piece that we thought was very important, was actually implemented. But overall, the leaders felt that teachers were much happier using learner-centered education now that they were trained and felt more comfortable with it. We really wanted to find out what it cost in both time and money for an agency to go through this training program to incorporate learner-centered education. And then once that initial outlay of resources had been made, how much did it cost to keep it going? Well, it turned out to be very challenging to collect this data for several reasons, primarily because it was really hard for agencies to standardize the way that they tracked and reported their costs and their use of resources. Everybody did it very differently, grouped their information differently, and so we really don't feel that the results from this survey are useful. But there's definitely a need for more comprehensive evaluations of this sort, the cost that it takes to implement and sustain not only just learner-centered approach, but all kinds of innovative types of education that we're trying to evaluate and to compare them to traditional education. So we also wanted to know whether this training would facilitate a shift in the way teachers view their role. Many seem to have more traditional perspectives about how teachers should interact with learners, even when the learners were adults. We also wanted to know whether the teachers were more satisfied with learner-centered approach, whether they were more comfortable with it, and if they felt it was effective with the participants based on the sort of feedback they were getting. So it turned out that teachers in the intervention group actually did have a shift in their perspective. They valued having participants discuss class topics with each other and learning from each other, more so than they did before the training. So it looked like it had an impact. The teachers also felt more comfortable asking open questions in class that may not have a right or wrong answer, which can be a little bit scary. And we got a lot of anecdotal information that led us to believe teachers were happy with the approach, like these quotes seem to imply. The next couple tools I'll be discussing looked at the feasibility of learning of using learner-centered education in WIC. In other words, once the staff participated in the training, would this be enough support for them to go forth and provide learner-centered education? We reviewed agencies' lesson plans, pre- and post-intervention, as one check. And we also observed classes, pre- and post, to get an idea of what was actually happening in the classroom. The bottom line was that at the end of the study, the intervention group was definitely using more learner-centered methods than the control group. So we felt that we had accomplished what we wanted to. The most critical audience that we wanted to look at, of course, was our WIC participants. So we collected both qualitative and quantitative information from them, and we tracked individuals, which was somewhat daunting given the mobility of our population, and they were very, very patient with us. They completed pre- and post-intervention surveys where we looked for changes in perceptions and behaviors that might affect fruit and vegetable consumption. We also asked about their satisfaction with WIC classes. And at the end, we found that more participants in the intervention group reported they had increased the number of times they ate other vegetables within the last month, not including potatoes. So we were very excited to find this change, especially considering that they had only attended one class. Our focus groups were definitely the most exciting part of our study. With these groups, we wanted to explore the same issues as we did with the participants' survey, using a discussion format instead. We randomly selected three agencies from each the control and intervention group for a total of six groups. The groups were conducted at post-intervention, and we did them in both English and Spanish. Did I go too far? Next one for, thank you, okay. When we read through the transcripts, we found a lot of important themes coming through. It turned out that mothers from the intervention groups were more likely to identify reasons why knowledge from the fruit and vegetable class was important to them, while mothers from the control group tended to state kind of more general knowledge about fruit and vegetables without really describing a personalized application. This difference indicated to us that the intervention group was anchoring the class information into their own lives, and that was an important goal for these classes. The most exciting theme we found was that mothers who attended the learner-centered class appeared more likely to adopt new ways of offering fruit and vegetables to their families as a result of attending the class. And we love the quote that you see up here. This mom felt really good about herself for trying new fruits and vegetables. So now I'm this amazing mom. We just love that quote. These themes are significant, we think, because it looked like participants were actually making behavior changes because of the way that the class information was presented. The next three themes relate more to the participant satisfaction with the classes. Mothers who attended a learner-centered class remembered more about the class and found it more enjoyable compared to the moms who attended the control class. The quote described two moms who were interested enough to take in the class topic that they carried the conversation out of the classroom, and this particular mom felt that she had also made some new friends. So that was really heartwarming. We've heard stories like this for years since we've been doing LCE. The participants sometimes are so happy to share their experiences and ask their questions that sometimes it's hard to end the class gracefully so that the staff can keep the clinic on schedule. So that's a good problem to have. Along these same lines, the moms from the intervention group seem to feel more comfortable sharing personal experiences in the LCE classes. Intervention moms said they also learned a lot from the other participants, their experience and their knowledge, and that's another important goal in learner-centered education. So in terms of our overall conclusions, we thought that the participants and the teachers and the leaders all seem to agree that learner-centered education is a very satisfying and meaningful approach to education, and it can be a powerful tool for facilitating behavior change. One of the caveats is that leaders and teachers also agree it takes a high level of commitment to participate in the training and also a big commitment to follow up with training with the staff once the program has ended. It's quite a different approach than many of us, well, speaking for myself, was educated, and it can take a lot to undo what's really ingrained in us. But we think LCE is very powerful and it can be used in a variety of settings. We've found it to be effective for many topics, like breastfeeding, infant feeding, and childhood obesity. There's a whole range of topics we've used it for in WIC. And there's plenty of overlap between these principles and those that are used for individual counseling. This makes LCE very adaptable for one-to-one counseling. We're very happy to share any information that we have that might be helpful. We have a resource kit posted on our website. We have training materials, lesson plans, as well as our final report that has lots more detail about our study. And either Dana or I would be happy to have you contact us to answer any questions or just to talk about the project. So I'll stop here, and thanks so much for your attention.
We have time for questions, so are there any questions?
The question is, what's the plan to roll it out statewide? We've actually already done that. I know that sounds funny, but we had to work pretty hard to find agencies for this study that hadn't already been trained. So yeah, we've done it, and we've sort of moved on now to more one-on-one counseling training. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Jennifer Gregson, and she comes from the Network for a Healthy California.
Okay. Can everybody hear? Oh, that sounds good. Okay.